Right, so all it's going to be is literally just like a conversation, asking you a few questions, sort of thing like that. Nothing serious, nothing sort of like fucking interview, right?
Yeah, I know, innit? I feel like I'm having a job interview right now.
I know, yeah. So tell me your top five skills then.
Tell me what, my skills.
Your top five skills. Why should I employ you?
I've got good customer service. I'm confident and bold. Confident and bold. Use them in the I had
I've
the
never
main and
used that myself, like, but yeah, cool. I'll add it to my list.
everyone has bold in there. Like, what does that even mean? Also, why would you want to be bold at your place of work?
Yeah, who the fuck? Why would you want to be bold? I don't get that. But so you say you're bold, you're confident. What else?
I don't know. I feel like I actually don't know myself as a person. Like, you know, when you look in the mirror and you think, like, when you're like steaming and you can't recognize yourself, I feel like I'm like that personality. I don't know what kind of personality I've got. I had an interview recently with this woman. She was doing this casting. Not this woman, this lady.
That's cool.
She was asking me just to like talk about myself, and I was saying how I feel like people don't like me because they don't understand me. Oh, I'm so different. But like she was, people don't like you. And I was confused that she didn't like understand that because I think I'm quite dislikable because
Why?
I think I can be rude sometimes, but I don't mean to be. It's like if I think something, I will just say it, not like in a mean way, but I feel like I have to say something if I think
Yeah.
it. When people annoy me or whatever, I'm like, you need to know that you've done something wrong. And also, my opinion, I think I'm dead opinionated. I always think my opinion is right. So
Nah, that's
everyone,
always this though. It is, I'm the same.
yeah, exactly. My opinion is always right. So everyone needs to know that, I feel like. So that's why I feel like people don't like me that much sometimes. But then when you get to know me, I'm actually a nice person. And I do
And that's
care
like
about.
me, to be fair. Like, nobody fucking likes me, but when they meet me, they love me. So,
Yeah,
one
but
of them,
that's
isn't it?
during our ages of 17, 18, you're a bit of an evil boy.
Yeah, so everyone says, but I don't get why I was evil though.
No. It's because you were aggro on Twitter and stuff. But so was I. I
The
had
thing
to
is
deal with
though,
it.
if I'm aggro on Twitter, I'm aggro in person. I'm the same. Like, I'm not like, I don't change. Like, that's what people think, but it's so wrong.
No, exactly. And I feel like because I'm who I am, over the years I've put things on Twitter that maybe I shouldn't put on there. Like, I think I told Ben Shapiro to kill himself like 2 months ago. Not like he would ever see. I was like, I need to delete that tweet. Like, that's really, really bad. And I had to, the other day, I went, sifted through my whole Twitter, like, searched every single thing that could be offensive and, like, deleted it. There wasn't much on there, but, like, when I was like 10, I would have used words like retard and stuff, which is obviously really offensive. So I just had to delete all them dead old tweets. So now my Twitter's clean.
Yeah, that's a bad word, that retard. Fucking hell, you won't catch me saying that. Jeez.
No, exactly.
So go on then. We'll just get into it now. So currently, where you're working at, like, we'll just edit this bullshit out. So what we'll get into is sort of like what you're doing, who you are, where you're from, all that sort of shit. Yeah.
To be fair,
But it's not like an interview. There
no, I know. We're just having a conversation.
we go.
At the I'm doing like freelance creative stuff. So I'm doing like production, art direction, film photography. Like when I've worked with clients in the past, I've done like the casting and stuff, but there's not much to it really.
Yeah.
Like small shoot. But yeah, like I quit my full-time job in June and I was doing all that basically, but for like a company, a fast fashion brand. But I quit there.
What
You are?
was the company?
I don't know what I should say. I don't know.
Why
It ended quite sour. Not sour, but I was sour on my behalf. Like, I was
though?
ending for me. I really wasn't happy there.
Ooh.
I feel like in fast fashion, especially like in the creative part of it, it's really, really demanding. And there's no work-life balance. You can't like kind of be as creative as you want to be because you have to be creative for the brand. Like it's not about you. It's about like the brands. And I just feel like it's really toxic environment. Like that's why I kind of like working for myself because if I don't want to do something, I can just say no. Like if I don't want to work with someone, it's up to me to decide that. But like
Yeah.
it's such a good industry because it's really rewarding. And if you are a creative person, it like that's the thing that makes you tick. And it is rewarding, like it's good to meet people, like-minded people. It's good to work with creative people, but like it's such a hard industry to work in. Like if you can't handle rejection, then you can't be a creative, because the amount of times you get rejected and you just think, oh my God, I'm actually shit. Like I had this, like 2 months ago, this really big like client reached out to me. It was like a, I don't want to say the name because it's babe, but it was like a big brand, and they're doing London Fashion Week in 2 weeks. Production. And obviously I was like, yes, of course. And I was trying to act chill, like in the emails. So I was like, yeah. Obviously I was like, yes, I'll do that immediately. And she never got back to me, and I emailed her like I need to start for September, can you just let me know? And she never got back to me. I was thinking, it's so rude, that it's people's livelihoods, and like, and I'm, and it's like a big opportunity, and then like, you've just pinned me off. But that's what it is. You get rejected so many times, and sometimes you do, like your confidence does get knocked and you feel crap. But then that's all part and parcel of it. Like, it comes with the job.
I could imagine. So saying that now then, like getting rejected, what kind of like rejections is that you get? Like, do you go to them with an idea, you pitch it, or like, what's the crack around it?
I think for me, most of the rejection that I've had was like when I've been in a full-time job, it's kind of like feeling like I'm not good enough. Like, I think towards the end of me, sorry, let me just pull my skirt down a bit. Towards the end of my time at this place, I really, really wasn't happy. Like, I wasn't satisfied. My confidence, like, dropped so much. Like, it's taken me ages to, like, build my confidence back up again, because I know I'm good at my job. I know I'm creative. I know I can, like, compose a good picture. I know I can direct people well. I know that I'm, like, quite a personable person. And I'm managing people and shit. And I know I'm good at all that. But, like, when your confidence gets knocked, like, you just think you're crap at everything. And so, like, rejection for me was, like, towards the end of my time at the fast fashion company, it was just like, I feel like I was constantly told that I'm not good enough, I'm not this, I'm not that, I'm not, I would be told, asked to do one thing, then I would do it, and then it would be like, oh, I never asked you to do that, like, why have you done this, why have you done that, and you just can't please certain people. I was just like, it like literally blagged my head, because I was like, I can't work you out, like, I don't understand. Literally, I feel like I was manipulated in my last few months there. Like, me and my best friend on the same day, because we had just had it. Like, you don't get paid enough at a place like that to take it home with you. And like, I remember, because I've been suffering with long COVID quite badly. I'm having a bit of a flare as well. That's why I'm being a bit stupid on this call. But I remember I went home with long COVID, and for me, it's like brain fog and stuff. So I can't even like speak. I can't think. I can't do anything. And I was off ill. So I'm not getting paid. I don't get paid sick leave. I was off ill, head upstairs, literally a shell of a person, sweating, like couldn't even see. And I'm getting calls from work asking me where this is, where that is, getting screamed at down the phone. And I started having a panic attack. And Sam, my boyfriend, was like, you need to put the phone down, I need to put the phone down. I was like, I can't, I need to answer. And like, for me, that was just the last straw. Like, I was like, I'm literally at home ill with long COVID, and I'm getting phone calls left, right, and center. And that, I'm not getting paid enough for this. Even if you get paid £10 billion a year, I'm not answering a phone call outside of work. That was the final straw for me.
Nah, that's fair. At least you've got someone there, like your boyfriend there, to help you out and like,
no, exactly. Help you. I'd be sat in the corner of the room shaking if I was by myself.
Yeah, for sure. That seems like a fucking heavy pill to swallow. But say that these fast fashion brands, I've heard some bad shit about them. So it seems like it's all true. Like,
what have you heard?
I've just heard of fucking sweatshops. So they get people working for them. They're paying them fuck all. They're getting no benefits, and they're reaping all the rewards. Like, I know a girl who's doing at the marketing for one of said fast fashion companies, and she fucking did like some good stuff with them, and she got paid nothing, and they just let her go after she sort of built them up. So
really,
it seems heavy in there, and that's another reason I wanted to stop here.
I feel like with fast companies, the ethics aren't really there. It's not ethical. How can it be ethical when you're selling a t-shirt for £3? like
Yeah,
who
well,
trained. So yeah,
so what I'm
so
saying, it's mainly sort of like influencer culture that they're getting through there, you know, to promote the shit. So you're getting someone on, who's been on TV for what, like 2 days, that they're promoting it, but it's not ethical at all in like what they're doing as well.
I know, and I think it's on influencers these days to be more like conscious of what they're promoting. Like, I just seen that Gemma from Love Island sign with PLT, and whilst I can't expect her because it's Michael Owen's daughter, like, and she seems like an all right girl, but like, come on, you're just a runner up on Love Island. Everyone is about the environment. Everyone is slagging off these fast fashion companies because they're a massive cause of like climate change. And you signed like a multi-million pound deal with them. Like, read the room. And especially with like cost of living crisis and stuff. Like, I just feel like it's not the time for that.
It's not at all. It's not the fit, and that's the thing that pisses me off is because like these people that go on TV, they're getting paid loads of fucking cash, and all they're doing is like being told what to do, what to say, like 24 hours a day. They're doing football. They're doing no work, and
That's the
they're
beauty.
even.
It's just you're good looking, you go on TV, and even if you're a horrible person, you'll still go far. Like that, what's his name? Luca Bish. He's just,
Bella, yeah.
and he was on the other day. I saw him, I swear he was on Soccer AM. Like, who's he to talk about football?
The guy's probably never kicked a ball in his life, the daft cunt.
Yeah,
Well, I'm not being funny. I don't watch that shit at all. Like, I physically like makes me feel sick. Now, I'm on socials a bit, but when I see people like they base their lives around it, I'm thinking to myself, like, what the fuck? Like, get outside and smell the fresh air.
I know. To be fair, I don't watch it, but I watch it through Twitter. So like, I wouldn't watch. I didn't watch a second of it. I remember on one of the last few episodes, I did actually watch a second of it, and I had to turn it off because it was making me cringe so much. I just like watched it through Twitter and
Yeah.
like would read the hashtag. So that's why I knew what was going on. But I can't watch it. It's just so grim and fake and like.
Wet. It's wet through. Like his fucking knees ringing out. It stinks. I hate it.
It stinks. It
It
does.
absolutely reeks. It pongs, mate. I'm telling you now. So, in terms of like what you're doing now, then. So you're freelancing. You're freelancing doing what?
Yeah, so like I'll do art direction, production. So production, I feel like that's kind of like a term that people don't understand that much. It's like doing all the logistics for the shoot or the campaign or the TV ad, the video, whatever it's going to be. You kind of do all the call sheets, you do production timelines, like you'll do the casting, you'll kind of sort out transport for everyone. So like
Oh.
it's a job in itself. So when I was doing that alongside like doing art direction and conceptualization, and I would do like film photography as well, it's a big job, like it's a lot. Like I think it's easy to burn out doing that much, all that stuff, but like it's not. In it's nice in what's the word
Small
in
dog.
small doses, yeah.
There you
So
go.
I'm doing like my production stuff, but for me, it's like my favorite part of it's art direction and like conceptualizing a shoot. So like a client might come to me and say, I'm gonna shoot these clothes, and I'll ask them like, do you want me to come up with a concept? And if they say yeah, then you just kind of have to work out like what their brand is, and then you have to align the shoot with their brand. So like for example, my friend, she has a brand, and she has like trackies and like different colored trackies, and because it's like sportswear kind of vibe, we shot it on a tennis court and we shot it on film, because you just have to kind of like do it individually for each brand, like use their brand identity, the tone of voice, and then you like conceptualize the shoot. And then you do all the production stuff, pre-planning, and then it comes to a shoot, and then you either shoot it digitally, you film it. Like I shoot on film personally. I don't really like shooting digitally. Like I'm not that good at shooting digitally. Like film me. And then I'll do the art direction as well. So you just tell the models how to pose. Like you create mood boards and just basically show them like this is the vibe. And then you work with them to create the vision, if you get me.
Is that is a big fucking big process involved, especially for one person.
It is like before I started working in like the creative industry, I just looked at models and just thought, you've got such an easy job. But no, they don't. No one has a good job, easy job. Like there's so much goes behind planning things, and I think a lot of people think that anyone can do it, And they
Good.
really can't. Like you have to, you either got it or you haven't, in my opinion.
If I'm right, like I said, when I chased out my modeling career, I was doing shit for Vogue and that all the time, and it's hard to keep track of, isn't it, really?
Yeah, in
That's
it.
what I'm saying, yeah. So beyond doing that, then, you do that for yourself now, yeah?
Yeah. And I mean, for a bit, I wasn't really doing stuff for a while because, like I said, I was suffering with long COVID, and I get flare-ups, but it's okay at the minute. And it's really hard to work when you've got long COVID. Like, I think people look at me and think because I look healthy or whatever, that I'm fine, but it's like an invisible illness. It's horrible. I've had it for like 8 months now. So when I quit my job, like I just had a bit of a break from working or doing any freelance stuff because I just needed to mend myself. And like on my birthday, actually, my dad had a stroke. So that was in February. So like dismantled my year a little bit, like derailed my whole life. So I just
Yeah.
think I thought myself out a bit. Like I lost my head quite a lot, lost my confidence, like really struggling with my long COVID. Like I didn't know who I was anymore because like you go from being really fit and healthy and having like your mind is intact to suddenly not being able to go on a walk without being knackered. Like you can't think when you've got brain fog. Like my body just feels like a 90-year-old body. It's so
Yeah.
grim. So like you kind of lose your sense of self a little bit. So I just kind of needed to put myself back together. But I'm fine now. Like I'm fine now. But the start of my year was massively derailed.
Yeah, no, it sounds heavy. So has it been like an uphill sort of a drive or what?
What since then?
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like I honestly, for the last few months, I've been really, really putting myself as a victim. Like I know that people hate victims, and I have been a proper victim. Like feeling sorry for myself. Like I don't think it's been uphill at all. It's been like that kind of.
Yeah.
It's not. But it's really hard. Like when you kind of get in, when something really like traumatic happens to you. Like when my dad was really ill, it was so hard. And like, he's a lot better now, like way better. But I think like when he came out of hospital that it means everything's better, but it doesn't. Like, you still carry the feelings with you, like the initial feelings of when I found out that he'd had a stroke. And like, I literally, it was my birthday. Like I said, I went in to go and get my hair done. I got a cut color dye. Wait, a cut color, a
Nice.
cut color, the same thing. I got a cut color and blow dry. Came out with my hair all in rollers, got in the car, and Sam was being dead weird with me. I was like, "Do you like my hair?" And he was like, Yeah. I was like, "What's wrong?" And he was like, "Oh, your dad's in hospital." Like, because I remember I'd spoken to him that morning, and he'd been mixing his words up. And I said to him, like jokingly, I was like, "You might be having a TIA, which is a mini stroke." And turns out
Yeah.
he was. And then like just that whole week when he was in hospital, it literally felt like time stood still. Like I've never experienced it like that before. Like it was so weird. It was like everything was still going on around me, and I was
Yeah.
just like a me
Oh.
stuck in time. It was really weird. And then, so it took like a while to kind of. I'm not over it at all, but it took a while to kind of like process my emotions that came with that, and like the emotions that come with the aftermath with it. So like it has been really hard year, and I have been playing myself the victim a lot, especially with my long COVID and stuff. I've just been thinking like I need something good to happen to me, but good
Yeah.
stuff is happening. I have a really like happy life, and I'm surrounded by like good people. I love what I do. Like I am really lucky. So you just need to be like grateful for small things, in my opinion.
Yeah, damn
But
right. Like I said, you.
you're a bit of a rut. It's hard to kind of. You've got like tunnel vision, don't you? It's hard to like see past
Yeah,
that.
no, exactly. Everyone's been there. I've been there fucking many times. But like I say, when you've got so much bad shit happening, it's hard to focus on what's good and, mainly aim yourself at what's happening like wrongly. That's what you mainly put your focus on. I'm a sucker for it. So all hats off to you for doing that. I've seen you've been getting on holiday a bit. You've been traveling a bit. Where have you been?
So I went to Spain in May to do a shoot with work. We did our summer campaign. That was really good. We went to this place called Cadiz.
Yeah.
I'm so flying though. Like I have to take a Valium before I fly. I get it from my
No.
doctor.
No.
I take like four before I fly, and then I get steaming on the plane, so I can't like feel anxious or whatever.
Yeah, I'm
I just
triple
hate.
dropping before I touch any plane.
You are?
I'm triple dropping before I touch any plane. Simple.
No, exactly. Me too. Literally like a smackhead. And then we went to Italy in May. That was fat. Like we went to Sorrento and then Capri. Sam bought it for me for my birthday. But obviously, because my dad was ill on my birthday, I didn't like open any of my cards till like a week after. So it was a bit of a anticlimax open finding out we were going. But that was so like my favorite place I've ever been to Sorrento. It was so
Yeah,
good.
it looks nice.
Yeah, it was amazing. We only went for 3 days though. I could have gone for longer. And then we actually at the start of June, we were because we said to each other at the start of this year, me and Sam, we were like, let's just start doing more things, like whether it's like going away for weekends, whether it's just going getting a plane somewhere for a day, like let's start doing more things. So we decided on the Jubilee weekend, because I didn't want to be here for the Jubilee weekend because
What
it
do you
was
mean?
first. I like the Queen kind of, but I don't like the monarchy. But the Queen is quite cute. But I don't want to
It's
celebrate.
crazy.
So we got off because it'd just be full of gamins around here. So we were like, let's drive to France. So we drove to Dover. That took us 7 hours. And then
Yeah.
we drove LA to Lyon. We slept on the way as well. We just pulled over on the motorway to a little lay-by and slept. It was
Gassy. Gassy.
so good. Like rolled the seats back in the car and went to sleep. And because we were just in this lay-by and it was like 2 in the morning, I was thinking someone is coming to smash the window in and kill me.
Stop it, yeah.
Yeah, it was grim. So then we drove to Lyon. We spent a day in Lyon. Then we drove to Monaco. It was so grim, like driving that far.
Oh,
Like
yeah. On
really amazing experience, but like I wouldn't recommend.
the always was it, like the journey.
So the drive down to Monaco is 24 hours non-stop. So when we drove to Dover, that was 7 hours. Then we drove to Lyon, that was another 7 hours, but it wasn't 7 hours because we like pulled over loads of times. Like Sam literally, when we were on the motorway, he was like, I can't see. Like, so we had to pull over and have another sleep. We went to Bear like service stations to get food. So it ended up taking us 12 hours from Calais to Lyon. And when we got to Lyon, we slept. Like we didn't do anything. We slept and then we went out for tea. And my long COVID was acting up, so we just went home because I couldn't eat anything.
Fucking hell, it's heavy.
No, it is heavy. Like I wouldn't recommend doing it in that short of time. Like you need 2 weeks to do it, and we did it in like 4 days. And then we
That's
drove to Monaco, and it was so nice. But again, like we were just knackered. And then the day after that, we drove to Dijon. That took us 12 hours, I think. And then after that, we drove straight from Dijon back up to Manchester, and it took like 15 hours. It's heavy.
Whoa. Yeah, well, talk about long distance driving. This weekend just gone, I drove from Melbourne to Brisbane, yeah, non-stop. 22 hours, non-stop, standard. So
You were doing that, I went on maps and I searched how far it is. How did you
15
do
miles. What's that?
it without stopping?
Well, there's something God created which helps you stay awake. So maybe if you're that, but no.
Driving influence.
Well, under the influence in Australia is different than under the influence back home. Like, we're allowed to drink and drive over here.
Someone told me the other day, my friend used to live in Australia, and he told me that everyone does meth over there.
Yeah, there's ice heads everywhere. Like, fuck me, on the way to work, yeah? Wake up at 9 a.m., go down to work in a big city, yeah? Ice heads everywhere. You jump on a train, there's people sat near, the stink of shit, like, white stuff around the mouths, like, absolutely smashed out the faces. It's disgusting. Like back home, you get your spices, but over here, the meth heads, I said, it's horrible.
He told me though that not normal people, because that's not the right
All people.
like 20-something-year-olds that have jobs, like houses and stuff, like they do meth.
Yeah, they do, because do you know how much a bag of coke is over here?
You are.
They do meth because it's the cheapest option. Like, do you know how much a bag of coke is over here?
$300.
340 for some good stuff. Now, I don't do this stuff clearly, but I've been told by a certain somebody that it's expensive if you want good stuff. So that's why they
What?
do it.
That's crazy. Because I thought Australians were like proper wreckheads. Like, I didn't
No,
realize
they
we were
are.
doing.
Yeah,
That's.
they are. So, like a standard house party over here, like back home, you've got a few guys in the kitchen sniffing some lines, whatever. Over here, you know, they're doing everything. Like I'm talking meth, like crack, everything is disgusting.
Shut up.
Yeah, you want to see a rave over here. So, you know, back home, people popping pills and stuff. Over here, they're smoking pipes.
Yeah, this morning Sam went to go and get a car wash, like at 9:30-ish, and it's near the White Hotel. Have you been to the White Hotel?
Of course.
And there were like people coming out of the White Hotel like at 9:30. I was just thinking, oh,
Now
that.
that.
They were fine. Like they didn't look like they'd been on it for like 12 hours. Everyone was looked sound.
That's kind of what I was doing back home. So I'd go out on the Wednesday night and I'd come back on the Tuesday morning, sort of straight through like fucking 4 or 5 days, whatever. So I've cut all that sort of in the bud as I say right now. But yeah, back home it's bad for it. There's too many people that would bring you into that sort of environment.
I know, I feel like in the UK, like drug addiction is so normalized, like so normalized. I know people that like sniff ket every day, and that's like when you actually like zoom out of it, that's really not normal. And like the culture in the UK is also not normal. Like my
Worst
boyfriend,
culture.
and like people will be like, why are you not drinking? Why are you not doing this? Like he's not one to be, he's not soft at all. Like if someone's peer pressuring him, he's like, what are you up to? But like even
Yeah.
his mates want him, like, why are you not drinking? And it's like, why are you asked? Like if
Yeah.
someone's not drinking. You know what I
And
mean?
that's a big massive red flag for me back home, because I never understood that. So back home I'd be going out with the boys, you know, with the boys sort of thing. And say if I'm saying, listen, I'm not doing anything tonight. Oh, why are you being soft for? Why are you being soft for? And the
I
next
know.
thing you know, I've been on it for 5 days. Like, what the fuck? It's not good.
I know. I used to be that person though. Like, if someone wasn't drinking, I'd be like, why are you not drinking? Why are you not drinking? Have fun, get on my level. Ugh. But now I look
Yeah.
back and you're an actual weirdo for saying that. Because, like, as well, my aunt was an alcoholic and she died as well from being an alcoholic. So, like, me, and people, I feel like I should know not to go on at people to drink. But I don't anymore ask if people don't drink or whatever. Like, I don't really like drinking that much anymore. Like it proper
No.
like does one drink and the next day I'll be jeffed. I can't get off the settee.
I mean, I hate drinking. I would never drink like that much ever again. But no, in a nutshell, yeah, like I was saying, back home, the culture. Like, I know professional boxers, like high caliber professional boxers that had fucked up their lives on sniffing like every day. So
Really?
I was going down a similar path to what I was seeing other people doing. I'm thinking, if you've got everything in life you want, like it's so easy just to throw it away by getting involved with that sort of stuff and them kind of people. So Australia, that's why I'm here, and that's why I enjoy it more, because the people here are more chilled. Like you can
Yeah.
sit down with them, have a chill, have a few beers, and it doesn't need to get silly. Now back home, it's different. Like people are wankers back home. So if you're
Yeah.
listening from back home, fuck you up.
Isn't it? And fuck the UK for being such a drinking drugs culture gaff.
Yeah, and another thing about foot the UK is everybody would say stuff behind a keyboard, but no one says anything to your face. And that is what I will hold myself to about back home. Anytime anyone said anything behind a keyboard, they've been dealt with. They say something to your face and then they won't ever say it again. But that is the worst thing for me, looking back about the UK, Preston especially, is everyone is a soft ass back home and I hate it. Over here, it's different.
I know. I feel like I said, I think sometimes people don't like me because I will just say things, not even in a rude way, but I'm not gonna. I feel like I'm not a person. I can't read between the lines. So if you're pissed off at me, you need to tell me because I don't know. I just think everything's fine unless you tell me. I just get sarcasm. Like I can't read between the lines. Like I need you to be direct with me. So I think that's why I'm so direct with other people. Like if I don't like what they're saying, I'll say. And I think that's like a good trait to have because I don't like people who
Definitely.
beat. Obviously, there's a time and a place. Like, I think definitely time and a place to be like telling it how it is. But like, I don't like that. I don't like how people go behind each other's backs. It's just like so fake, isn't it? But then I feel sorry for people like that because I feel like they're obviously really insecure and they've not got much going on. Like, if they're just chatting shit about everyone behind their backs.
100%. Now you just said everything spot on that I would have said. Like 100%. If you've got something to say, just say it. Like, don't beat around the bush. Don't pretend you're someone's friend if you've got something to say about them. So, completely agree with what you said.
Gossip them. Like, people that say they don't like, especially like, I think it's maybe not a male thing, but like, people that say they don't like gossiping, you're lying. I love gossiping. I love being
Don't
a hater.
gossip.
I'm a feminist, but I'm a hater first. I love it.
I'm a feminist as well.
Are you? Good. Should be. Everyone should
Exactly.
be.
Exactly.
Feminist. I don't like it at all.
Exactly.
You like Andrew Tate? Is that it?
Yeah, we'll get onto this topic of him. What do you think about him, though? Like, serious note, what do you think about him?
He needs lining up in front of a wall and shooting in the head. He does. People like that are literal wastes of space. Like,
Yeah.
it's like also, this is quite horrible of me to say, but like, I went out the other night with my friends on last Saturday it was, and I feel like you can't enjoy the night because there's men touching you everywhere, being inappropriate, like just being disgusting. And I said to them, I was like, honestly, the world would be a better place if those people just got someone in their head and put them out of the misery. Like, people like that
Oh.
don't need to, they're not bringing anything to the world that's positive. They're just
I'm
bringing
right.
hate. They're misogynist, disgusting, racist, homophobic, like everything bad. They just need shooting in the head.
It's true. Shoot him straight up in the dick as well. So what you've just said there, perfect example of another thing that which I strongly believe in. So for me, whenever I've had relationships with girls in the past, it's always been like a negative for me. If they're out in town, you know, I'm like, you know, have a great night. But if I'm getting a phone call saying, oh, some guys just touched me and shit like that, I don't agree with it. So for me, I sort of I hate stuff like that. And being a girl, does it happen to you often? Say if you're out in town and someone's putting their hands on you and shit.
Yeah, every single time you go out, like I don't really go out anymore because of it, like at all. Like last Saturday was the first time I'd been out in Manchester in maybe like a year, I don't know. Because of that, like it pisses me off. And then because I've had a drink, I feel a bit more like het up about it. So I ended up this guy and smacking his drink in his face. And obviously I wouldn't do that if I was sober, but don't touch someone without their consent. Like, what are you actually up to? Why would you go
No,
out on a day? Like, it happens to everyone. It happens to every single girl you know. Like, and any of your girlfriends, it's happened to them. Like, every time you go out, even if I'll go out looking like shit on my own, go to like
yeah. Your
Morrison's.
boyfriend as well, even sometimes you go out with your boyfriend as well, but
Definitely. Like, that's why I don't really go out with him that much, because I feel like he's my safe person. Like, he'll protect me. I feel safer with him. Like, when I go out by myself, even if I go and stuff, I won't feel safe because people say stuff. Even when like I'll walk 5 minutes down the road, people say, pull over and say shit or shout stuff at you. Like, what you think you're driving a little Vauxhall Corsa beeping your car at me, I'm gonna say yeah, let me in, I'm gonna get in the back. Like, what are you up to?
fucking yeah, for sure. I completely agree with everything you said. I'm glad you have the same sort of concept of it. So that's great to hear. Like I say, I don't want to take too much of your time, but I do want to get into Supergirl Blondie. Like, I'm a massive Petrolhead, but how the fuck did you land that?
Oh, it was actually mad. Wait, don't put this bit in, but I have got like 5 minutes before I need to go. So I'll
Yeah,
do this
no,
quick.
that's what I'm saying. I wanted to get up because I can see you clock watching.
Sorry, I'm not clock watching. I'm just meeting my friend before work. We're meeting at the Green Lamp.
Yeah, no.
So it was 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago. I had never heard of her. I
Oh,
love Top Gear.
sorry.
You what?
For the people, she's just talking about when she met her first lady love.
Yeah, Supercar Blondie. She's called Alex. She's Australian. She's like Top Gear, but one woman by herself. And she does all
Yeah.
these cars. And it's sick what she's built this up all by herself as a woman as well. It's amazing. She's got like tens of millions of followers. Like, it's so good. And when I met her as well, she kind of told me about the things she had to face, like getting in the industry with people talking about her looks, like. It's obviously it's hard to adapt to stuff like that. Like, suddenly you've got all this fame. People that don't know you are talking about the way you look, the way you talk. Why is she a woman doing this? Like, being sexist and all that stuff. And like, it's hard to combat that stuff. And obviously she's grown with it and adapted to it. But it's like, it's amazing all the stuff she was telling me about. And like, she is a really, really good businesswoman, really, really intelligent, like knows what she's talking about. So it was a really, really good experience. But like, I got into it because, so my dad showed it to me. She had put this post up on Facebook saying they were looking for another presenter because she had so much workload. So she just needed someone else to come on board, really. And like I said, I like Top Gear. I love cars. And my dad used to be a mechanic, and he owned a car garage with his parents. So like, as I was growing up, I was kind of into cars because of my dad. And he showed me this post she put on Facebook, and I just applied. I think the first thing that I had to do was like send a video talking about me and like why I wanted to do it and stuff. And it was very cringy,
I
the
love
video.
God so much.
It was so cringy. It's still on my phone somewhere, but so I just sat not thinking anything of it. And then they got back to me and they were like, "Oh, we're like really interested. So send us another video of you reviewing a car." So I
Review your
reviewed.
little Audi outside.
You are.
You review your little Audi outside, the little white one. Did you go do a
No, I didn't.
video?
Oh, he's got M6 BMW, so I reviewed that. More interesting than my Audi, and I, oh, it was honestly so cringy. Like when I think about it, I actually feel my face going hot. But like,
Oh.
it did the trick, and I'm fine talking to cameras and stuff. So when I sent it off, they ended up ringing me up, and then I had a conversation on the phone with her husband. He's called Nick. He's such a sound guy, really funny. He's also her manager as well. And we had a conversation, and he just wanted to get to know me a little bit more. And then, long story short, me and two other girls, Bianca and Imelda, one from LA, one from Hungary, we ended up going out to do like this boot camp with her. And it was mad because they said that 7,000 people applied, and
Yeah.
then we ended up going. And like, I think that was a massive milestone in my life because then I realized I was like, I can actually do whatever I want. Like, I have the toxic belief in my head. I don't even know if it's toxic, but I can literally,
It's not toxic.
yeah, I know some might say it is, but I just feel like I can literally do whatever I want. If I can do that, then I can do anything. And then I can't really remember it. It was so long ago. It was 2.5 years ago, but we went out there. It was a few days before my 21st birthday as well. And we did a review of her Lamborghini that she has. It's called Lucy, her car. We did.
One of the Lamborghinis.
You are?
One of her Lamborghinis.
Yeah, one of them. And so that was just like to kind of get us to grips with like filming ourselves, like tone of voice you need to use, reviewing it. And I remember because I'm like a freak and I'm like a control freak. So they told me before I was going, they were like, you need to search the Lamborghini Huracan a little bit before you come over. So I had like this printed document of every single detail of the spec of it. And I'd like revise everything. So when I was doing my review, I was like, I can't remember the details now, but I was like, this has got 10 billion horsepower and here and it does that. And then it turns out they were like, no one actually cares about that stuff. Like they care about press this button and this fancy thing happens. Like be very like show and tell. That surprised me because I was like going in my head with all the like technical parts of it. And then we got to go to this car garage that they've got like a really good relationship with in Dubai, and we chose a car that we would do a review that would choose a car. So I ended up choosing the McLaren 720. So
I
then we
think
went out to the desert, and they shipped the car out to us. I can send you a video of it, like if you want to
got
put it in.
video. I'll post it on. I'll stick it on.
Okay, and like we just went to the middle of nowhere in the desert. It's so hot and so dry, and they brought the cars out, and then we just did a review on them. Basically, we like had to film a review ourselves, and then Nick filmed us doing a review like separately. The girls chose one of them chose a Porsche GTS, I think, and then
Yeah.
Imelda chose a McLaren SLR, I think. Can't remember. So yeah, then I had to do my review, but it's really hard to do because obviously I feel like us being from England and being from the north, we speak a certain type of way, don't we? Like
Elite. We speak elite.
you are.
We speak elite. We don't speak like these fucking southerners. We speak proper.
Yeah, exactly. And like, and I just feel like the way I had to speak was very Americanized. It was like, hey guys, check this out. this is a McLaren. I was like, I don't really speak like that. It will feel really like that. I'm like, I can speak with conviction and I can change my tone of voice and stuff, but like, I don't speak in whatever genre of speaking that is.
Yeah.
So that was really hard for me. Like, and I look back at the video now and it really makes me cringe, but like, it was such a good experience. Like, it was amazing. And then, so what ended up coming of it was that they said to us, basically, we had such a good time. Like, we had a really good time with them. Like, we got to know Alex and Nick really well. And it was really good to spend time with them. Really good to meet the girls. And I feel like it was a massive character building experience. Like, it definitely, like, shaped my personality. And then they kind of said to us, we'll let you know by next week who's successful in the presenter role. And then COVID happened. So it just never happened. Like, they kind of said to us, like, with the pandemic and stuff, we're just waiting to see how it is, and then we'll let you know. And then obviously COVID continued for 2 more years. So, like, it just didn't happen. Like, so I feel like, in my opinion, things happen the way they're meant to happen. Like, if it's meant to be, it's meant to be. And if it's not, if it's not meant to be, it's not meant to be. But if something's meant to happen, it will happen. And, like, obviously that wasn't meant to be. And that's fine. Like, I was a bit upset about it because it's normal to feel like that when you've been kind of presented with this big opportunity and not to get it. It's normal to be upset. But, like, now I can look back at it in fondness and think, like, it was such a good experience. Really enjoyed it. And it didn't happen. And that was it, really.
Yeah, first. Well, like I say, it was a nice opportunity. Did they pay for your flights out to the bar, or did you have to front that?
Oh, no, yeah, of course they covered that. Yeah, they covered everything. Like, they wouldn't make us do.
In reality, you lived my dream. That is something I would fucking love to do. Like, go get flown out, like, rip some cars up, present it. Yeah,
It was it. Like, it kind of feels like when you're in the moment, you're not really taking in and realizing, like, how amazing it is. It's only in hindsight, you're like, shit, that was a really big thing that I did there. And I probably got out of my comfort zone as well, because, like I said, I'm scared of flying. And I went out to Dubai by myself and did that. So I was quite proud of myself after I did that. And it's definitely, like I said, grow me as a person, because I realise now that I can literally do anything if I put my mind to it. You just need a bit of confidence, don't you? And also, if you're not scared of anything, you're never going to grow. Because getting out of your comfort zone, being scared, you're growing every single time you do that.
Yeah, and I love that. So that you can leave on that. But last thing I want to ask is, would you say that is your biggest accomplishment, or is there something else sort of hidden which you feel like is bigger than that?
Yeah, definitely that. I think on the more superficial, like, materialistic side of things, that's definitely my greatest accomplishment, because I proved to myself that I can do it. And I went out there and I did it in a country kind of by myself. And obviously they liked me, because there were 7,000 people that applied. So that probably was, yeah. There's a lot of other things. I feel like having long COVID and stuff has definitely grown me as a person. My experience with my dad being ill this year definitely has changed me as a person. There's something going on right now that I'm in the process of casting for that could be like a thing that might be a big accomplishment for me, but I don't know, we'll see.
Yeah, sit. Well, you're going to have to keep you updated with what it is. I'd like to know.
I will. I feel like there's so much more I want to talk to you about, but I really need to go because I'm meeting my friend.
Yeah, no, it's cool. You've given me, like, enough time is what I need, but we've got plenty of time. If you ever want to jump back on and, like, give a more in-depth analysis on the life of you, that's great. You can do that.
Yeah, no, I definitely want to.
And then I need to ask you one last question. We've got a few people asking, what are your tattoos?
So, I really need a wee, so that's why I'm sat kind of weird. I've got a star there. None of them mean anything. I've got two little snakes there. I got them at separate times. They're matching.
Why snakes?
Why?
Yeah, you're a snake.
My dad calls them worms. He's like, you've got an earthworm on your arm. It's like, you're kind of correct. And then I have this, which I hate. It's a monstera plant, because I love cheese.
I've got one here
in the corner, but it's dying because my friends don't look after it. What'd you say?
The same one in my front room.
Same money in what?
The same one in my front room, the same plant. Yeah.
They're my favourite plant, but the lines don't match up in the stem. I don't know if you can see. It doesn't match up. Honestly, as soon as he started putting tattoo to, I mean, needle to skin, I was like, what have I done? I hate this tattoo. And then I've got a little swallow. I got that when I was in Mauritius on my 21st. It means like traveling, something like that. I don't know. I'm trying to be fake deep, but none of them mean anything. And then I got this one when I was like 19, this lightning one.
That make you go
Probably.
faster?
You are?
That make you go faster?
Yeah, I got it for Lightning McQueen off cars.
Love it, love it.
And then I've got some dots on my finger that I did myself, but they've kind of come off because they come off on your fingers because you're washing hands. Oh, I got this one the other day. My friend did that, Gavin.
Yeah,
So
because I love that tired.
and I've got a flower there. My friend did that. That's also my other favorite. And I've got a chili because I love chilies. I've got a little chili on my necklace as well. I got it in Italy.
Love it.
Sacred Heart here, which needs going over as well, because it's dead faded. But the thing about her, when she was doing it, she was slagging off all my other tattoos. And also because I was really hungover and it's dead near my armpit, because it's quite painful there, I kept getting waves of sickness. And I was like, I'm literally gonna throw up, like you need to stop. And she wouldn't stop. I was like, I'm gonna be sick all over you. And but then I've got fleurs, which is French for flowers. I quite like that one. That's cute. I have a satin hidden in that flower. That's why I got that to cover that up, because I hate that satin. It's horrible. I got it in Magaluf.
Very well hidden because I can't see no satin there.
Can you not?
Oh shit, yeah, no, I can, yeah, no, nice, I got that, I got that.
Well, and then I've got one there, just a little semicolon, cringy. I got it when I was like 19. And then I've got,
Go
I don't know how to show this to you. Wait, let me get the camera.
on, just point it.
How do I flip my camera? I've got, can you see it there?
Careful, because you are in a skirt. Yeah, we can see that. Just a few dots and a, like a little little cross.
It's not cross and dots, it's stars.
Right, well, you have to send me the picture because we couldn't make it
Well,
out.
dots and a starburst and some stars. I feel like I've got another one somewhere that I've not said. I don't know. I lose count of them. None of them
Great.
mean anything.
Well, that's good to know you've got tattoos that don't mean fuck all. We love that. We love
Yeah.
it.
Amen.
And we've got another thing. Somebody's saying they're getting Amy Winehouse vibes, which is a compliment. What do you think?
I love Amy Winehouse. I cried so much when she died. She's one of my favorite of all time. That's a
There you
massive
go.
compliment. I actually dressed up as her when I was doing a themed Come Dine With Me. We had to dress as like musicians. I went as Amy Winehouse. I'll send you the picture of that as well.
Brilliant. We'll upload it. Well, you get to work or your friend, whatever. And then if you ever want to give a bit more time up and get more in depth, then feel free.
Yeah, no, I defo want to. Thank you for having me.
Brilliant. Thank you very much. We'll speak soon. And
Bye.
yeah. Bye.